Welcome in, McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Good to be with you. I'm in College Station, Texas. Greg McElroy, still back there in Birmingham. Greg's on Alabama again this weekend. So, not really much of a journey for Greg to do his game this weekend. South Carolina at A&M. I'll be on that one. I've got, normally, we have things planned for the first segment. We have things that we want to do. And GMAC, I don't know if you had the station sort of... If you're tuned in to the last segment of the previous show on Morning Jocks, but sometimes certain things pop up and they need to be addressed. They need to be talked about. You need to talk about them. You need to have a conversation about them. And they just are kind of part of what needs to take place. And I heard our producer say something that I'm not going to be able to let that slide. Because, number one, it's not okay. And number two, just again, shows the youth that we're dealing with here. You referenced Eli Manning as trash.
Yes. There's never been a time when you've watched – I'm just saying NFL. There's never been a time when you've watched an NFL game and said –
57,000 yards passing.
My gosh.
366 touchdowns.
Oh, my gosh.
4 Pro Bowls, 2 Super Bowl titles, 2 Super Bowl MVPs.
Again, there's never been
an undefeated Patriots team
in
the Super Bowl.
I understand. I understand that. But the thing is.
But it's not about Super Bowls. No, I heard that part.
No,
outside the Super Bowl.
No, I'm just saying. He never won another playoff game unless they were on a Super Bowl run. Other than that, I mean, again, I can't take that away from him, but there's never been a time where I've watched.
Two Super Bowls.
I've never sat there and watched an NFL game, an NFL season. Any time in my life and said, man, Eli Manning is one of the best quarterbacks in the game right now.
I think Eli Manning is perpetually
That makes
underrated.
Him trash?
Trash.
Yes. Like, again, I have never watched an NFL game and said, Eli Manning is one of the best quarterbacks to ever do it. Never.
So tell me exactly who would you also call trash right now, currently in the NFL?
Currently in the NFL?
Because if Eli Manning was a top 10 quarterback
all but
for
Brady, Rodgers, and Mahomes?
Years, yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like, I would put – no, I wouldn't put him in that. So, if we're going around the league, when I say trash, it would be – let me go – yeah, Andy Dalton definitely is in that. He's definitely in there.
Also not trash.
Yes, he is.
No.
Yes, he is.
No.
Yeah, like,
let me just go back to here because I feel like – I feel like
just
Landrum yelling
is.
In the background trying to be funny. Hold
Landrum
on a second, Greg,
background.
Because what Landrum followed it up with was, yeah, you're right. I would have never had Eli Manning on my fantasy team, which is one of the more pathetic statements I've ever heard in my life. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. To grade someone's career by how you view them through your fantasy draft goggles is flat out pathetic. Is what that is.
I was actually defending
Eli.
To
sit there and say that. Okay, well, but you did say. I'm sorry. I thought you were going along with him. But
no,
you said, yeah, I would have
no.
never had him on my fantasy team.
No, I was just saying wasn't flashy, but he's got 2 Super Bowls.
Okay.
I think y'all are nuts. Absolutely insane. I'm not trying to sit here and say that Eli was the GOAT by any stretch of the imagination. He was not his brother.
Dude, never missed a game due to injury. 210 consecutive starts. Only Favre and Rivers have started more games consecutively as a quarterback in the NFL.
Phillip Rivers or Eli Manning?
I mean, it's just – it's
Eli Manning. He's
I would
got
take,
2 Super Bowls.
No, I'm saying like if you – like
Eli.
Just – if
no,
you, had a, you had last – you had like a – You can only pick one or the other. With
oh,
you had no
for
blank
my fantasy team.
No, just
you're
blank resume. If you're saying, "Hey,
this
I need one
real,
of y'all," which one are you
life,
going for?
Actually.
No, I want a guy that I draft him to win a Super Bowl. I want 2 if I draft Eli. Oh. I want 0 if I draft Phillip Rivers. I actually got to 0 Super Bowls with Phillip Rivers. Great statistically, great player.
Yeah, but starting a high school program,
also,
who are you taking?
Also not described as trash.
No, trash is harsh, Damien.
No, it's fine. Again, like nobody's ever watched an NFL game.
Andy Dalton also not trash.
Yes, he is. Like that's
let me
something
tell you,
we know.
No, see, like someone. Let me tell you what trash is. All right, trash is Carson Wentz in his last year in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Okay.
Agreed.
Trash is
Teddy Bridgewater.
No, Teddy Bridgewater is not trash. Teddy Bridgewater is not a bona fide superstar. Trash is someone that can't play. play.
Okay.
And is inserted as a starting lineup. Like, okay, describe me this. What's Tua? What's Jalen? For our listeners in this area.
I would rather say Jalen is asked to do everything. So I wouldn't necessarily say he's trash because they're not building anything around him to make him better. They're just saying, hey, you go figure it out. You got the keys.
Tua just can't. Jalen Reagor and Devontae Smith. He doesn't have anything around him. Jalen doesn't.
I mean, Jalen.
Devontae Smith.
A rookie. He's just now getting into the league.
Jamar Chase, a rookie. How's that going?
I mean, he's balling. But again, like there are more rookies that come in and have to struggle a little bit, but then they are just, you know, coming to the game.
Not drafted in the first 15.
Oh, my God.
Just saying.
You're right, Greg. Go ahead. You're right. You got it. Eli, I'm sorry to step on Eli Manning's toes this morning.
I'm going to fight back when someone calls a quarterback trash.
We appreciate
trash.
Your apology.
Man.
I'm going to expect apologies by your parameters, though.
It's just like, it's just one of those things I was just like, I've never looked at Eli Manning and said, man,
like
he's
by
great.
Your parameters. Okay, so it sounds like by your parameters, Lamar Jackson is the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL.
No.
Because you're judging an NFL quarterback by how many times you watch him and say, wow.
No, I'm just saying.
So Lamar Jackson probably has more wow moments than any other quarterback we've seen.
No, I mean, he's one of the best. He's one of the best in the league right now.
He or Randall Cunningham.
I never got a chance to watch Randall Cunningham play.
Let's go through the list. I want to know who else is trash.
We go down the NFL, just break it down by division. So we'll go into like the NFC West.
I feel like you're a little like Jalen Ramsey right now. And like everyone was trash except for like literally. Remember when they asked him when he was back in Jacksonville?
Garbage.
Like, all right, who's good? Oh, that guy's garbage. That guy's trash. That guy's garbage. That guy's trash. I feel like most of the quarterbacks in the league are not trash. I feel like there are very few. Like how would you describe
I don't think Kirk Cousins is good. I don't think Kirk Cousins is good. No,
He's been in like five Super Bowls.
Who?
Kirk Cousins.
Oh, gosh.
Or five Pro Bowls, excuse me.
That's fine. The receivers made his career. Definitely made his career.
Where? At Washington?
Minnesota. Minnesota, that's where he got paid.
What receivers?
Stephon Diggs is the reason.
Laquon Treadwell?
Get out of here. We're talking about Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen.
Stephon Diggs is gone in like an instant.
And that
there.
One
Stephon
instant
Diggs
he made.
Buffalo.
Oh, my gosh. That was just last year, bro.
Jefferson. Let me say, Jefferson's carried his whole career.
I mean, to beginning, he has.
Kirk Cousins has been in the league 10 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Guy's paid.
Congratulations.
He's got a career 67% completion rate. Touchdown interception ratio 203 to 86.
Here we go with these stats.
Trash?
Here we go with the stats. Okay.
I'm just saying. Don't get me wrong. I think you're defined by what you do in the playoffs.
You're saying that.
Like I said, have you ever watched an NFL game and said Kirk Cousins is one of the best quarterbacks in the game right now?
No, I've said he's very underappreciated. What now? What
it feels like you're drawing the line of.
No, I'm just like it's just I when I watch him, I just do not.
Damien, you're drawing the line of if you're drawing the line that if you watch someone and don't say that they're one of the best in the league, that they're trash.
I mean, it's not. I'll put it like this: it's not the scale of, oh, he's absolutely trash. It's just like I would not have him as my quarterback. Like I wouldn't want him as my quarterback.
That's fair.
Yeah, I just wouldn't want him as my quarterback. Same with Jameis. I throw Jameis in that boat. Wouldn't want him as my quarterback.
What about Derek Carr? Where's Derek Carr? I wouldn't want
Derek
him as my
Carr is not what
he's
he
pretty good.
Derek Carr is not what he used to be, but I wouldn't consider him trash.
I wouldn't want him as my quarterback, though.
I would want him as my quarterback. I would want him as my quarterback.
Jared
I would
Goff
take
started
him.
The Super Bowl. Trash?
How many?
No.
Yeah, we're going to start working on your – we're going to start watching tape again. We're going to start going up there and watching tape again, Cole. We've
got to go to the NFL.
This is a public service announcement. We're going to start watching tape again.
So you
technically have Jared Goff ranked ahead of Eli Manning all time based on what you said.
No, not all time, but I
yes,
if given the choice between
one
the
trash
two,
and you said the other was not trash.
If given the choice between the two, I would start Jared Goff before I start Eli Manning.
Wow.
I really would. What? What? Oh, What? That's what I'm saying. Like, everybody gets hyped up over the Super Bowl. But, like, when have ever...
Hold on a second. Hold on, Damian. No, wait. Let me go back to something you said a moment ago.
Oh, gosh.
Give me the NFL game that you watched Jared Goff and said, wow, he's one of the best in the league.
No. There's never been a time where I've said it, but it's, I would rather have him than Eli Manning. I would rather have him than Kirk Cousins.
That's your scale.
I think he's going back to Landrum's fantasy roster. Because Jared Goff probably had some good fantasy years. I don't know.
Like, I mean,
I'm legit insulted. If Eli Manning is trash.
I'm telling you, Greg, when I heard it, I was just like.
You're appalled.
If Eli Manning's trash, the level in which I played to is so low. I'm like.
The floor.
I'm like the garbage eating bacteria. On trash. Like, that's how low of a player I was. If Eli Manning's trash, then, like, I am, like, on the lowest level of humanity. Like, not even humanity. Like, dumpster bacteria. That's what I'm the maggots in the trash can.
So, how do you feel about Jimmy Garoppolo?
Good player. Just can't stay healthy.
Okay, fair enough. That's how I feel about him. I'm like, he's in that good to almost great category.
But
like,
everybody's good. To me, like, I think everybody's good until proven otherwise. When you become trash is when you become a complete.
Let me say, I guess my adjective
turnover,
is too strong.
Walking turnover, and you start getting people fired.
I guess my adjective is too strong. Then I guess when I think of,
we will allow you to walk it back.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't say trash. I just would not
play reverse.
Yeah,
the Crane Works beep while you're backing it up.
Like, I wouldn't necessarily say he's trash, but I would not have him as my starting quarterback. I just would not.
If you're given every advantage,
when you become
like
the GM of an NFL franchise, you can make those decisions.
And by the way, you might not have that luxury of being able to draft, I don't know, guy in the top five. I mean, some people have to make do. For a guy that was drafted in the fourth round, like Kirk Cousins, I feel like he's had a pretty dang good career. For a guy that was drafted in the sixth round, like Tom Brady, pretty good career.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would say guys that are undrafted, like Taylor Heineke, pretty good career. I mean, I think it's based on your talent level. So I think Eli was pretty dang talented, had a pretty dang good career, won a couple Super Bowls. Phillip Rivers, pretty dang talented, pretty good career, won a couple Super Bowls. When you become trash is when your talent level is far superior to that of your performance and productivity. Like, that's my trash. And if we're honestly going off Super Bowl performances,
no.
Let me ask you this. No, I'm going to ask you about your favorite player ever. If we're going off of Super Bowl performances, what is Cam Newton? Because that was the worst Super Bowl performance by a quarterback I can remember in recent history. He didn't even.
He's not, he doesn't
he
have a job right now.
Jump, he didn't jump you on didn't a
see,
fumble. He
didn't, you didn't see Neil O'Donnell against the Cowboys.
He doesn't have a job right now.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if we're going based, if Super Bowl performances don't define your career, and they or they do, because I happen to think Super Bowl performances do define your career.
Understandable, but also he never won another playoff game until the Super Bowl runs. He had other chances where he was in the playoffs.
Who's that?
I almost said Matthew Stafford. Eli Manning.
Yeah, he made the playoffs a few times.
Yeah, and like
I'm not asking you about Eli Manning. We've already put that one to bed. I want to ask you about Cam.
He doesn't have a job right now. Well, and what made Cam Newton?
You said he
couldn't do it anymore.
One of the best quarterbacks ever.
When? I say he's one of the most talented. I never said he was one of the best.
I don't know. I remember that jumping out at some point.
No, I said he deserves to be on somebody's roster. I know that. He may not be the best. He may not be a starter, but he deserves to be on somebody's roster.
If he wants to be.
All right, we'll see.
Yeah.
If he gets on somebody's roster.
I mean, you know, it's tough.
I feel like we won the argument here. I feel like this was a victory. Words matter.
Sorry, I need to adjust my adjective level when I'm talking about quarterbacks.
Words matter.
They do. I see. I thought we were going to start talking. Now I got to try to sway it. Like, hey, man, can we talk about the Dodgers and Braves or something? Like, get off of me, man.
No. Baseball season's over. All right? We're talking about – here's how uninvested I am right now to baseball, because I've been so sickened by what I've seen from the Dodgers. I did not watch one inning last night. Because we had two great football games that I really wanted to watch. I really wanted to watch the Broncos game. I watched a lot of that. And I also watched Louisiana, and I also watched SMU. I wanted to see if Louisiana could bounce back. They could not. Butch Jones and company, making it very interesting all the way there to the very end. Louisiana hangs on the heels of what was an incredible drive to put the game on ice. Awesome, awesome drive. but very unimpressive performance from the Cajuns. And then SMU's, they're for real. When they were cooking in the first half and they were in rhythm offensively, that's a team that's going to give Cincinnati some fits. That game at the end of November, that's not going to be a pushover victory in favor of Cincinnati. That was fairly impressive from what I saw from the Stangs last night.
No, Tanner Mordecai, 30-42. He went for 427, three touchdowns, just a big day. And they stretched the field well. They're super efficient through the air. Danny Gray, a bit of a difference maker at wide receiver. I agree with you. We will see the Cincinnati defense tested by this SMU offense. They put 55 on Tulane last night, 55-26 the final there in Dallas. And that game, the one thing that I'd say is it is at Cincinnati. So a little bit of an advantage for the Bearcats there. Obviously don't know when you're talking about November the 20th what things are going to be like when SMU goes north. But I think that's going to be a fun one to watch. And that offense can absolutely get it. You're right. Was watching that game along with the Cajuns taking on A-State last night. Butch almost got a big win, but kind of couldn't close it out there. And you give that offensive line that run game credit. They were able to slam the door late in that game. Not the best performance like you mentioned, Greg, but 424 rushing yards for Louisiana last night.
They had a 99 and a 70. They had like a 76-yarder and a 99-yarder. That'll do it right there.
But still, subtract those, and I mean, you're still over 200 yards rushing as a team, which is solid. So, I mean, it's
90-yard. It was a solid. How gassed are you at 99 yards? If you have to run 99 yards, the
I'll
ball
see you
hand,
Monday.
People chase. Yeah. Where's the oxygen?
See you Monday.
Yeah. Oh, that
was, oxygen, that was IV. Yeah, I'm gonna need electrolytes, injection, something. I'm gonna need a lot. I'm not gonna be good for a minute. But yeah, it was. Listen, Billy found a way to win the game. Now he gets to 6-1. It's not the best win because Arkansas State's not having a good year. They're 1-6 now, but. Again, I think good teams find ways to win games when they're in tough spots. It was on the road. Obviously, they've got this weeknight schedule going, Tuesday last week, Wednesday this week. So I give them credit for finding a way to win it late because I thought that they were going to lose that game late third quarter, early fourth quarter, and they found a way to get it. So and pretty impressive win. That's the fourth time that the Cajuns have run for 400 yards as a team under Billy Napier. So they're going to get it done on the ground. We know that. We know that's going to happen. And some news coming out of Athens, not necessarily concerning the ground, but through the air. Kirby Smart, Greg, yesterday telling Chris Lowe that and Georgia doesn't play this week. We know they got Florida next week, but they're the number one team in the nation. And we have talked about it multiple times that we feel like this quarterback situation is probably what's going to decide if they can win a national championship or not. And there are folks that think, hey, I mean, you've talked about it. Stetson's done nothing to show you that he needs to come out of the game. I'm not even going to ask Damian what he thinks about Stetson Bennett because I don't even want those words coming through the microphone on the station.
No, I agree.
But we know what JT Daniels is capable of, and we know the ability that he has and how he could potentially make that offense a little bit different. Kirby's saying yesterday, Greg, he intends to play both moving forward. Very interested in just your thoughts on – is this the right call? Is this a good call? How can this work? And then he immediately goes to Bennett's mobility in that when that could be of benefit to his offense, he's the guy that could then help them. So we have no idea exactly how these will be split, who's going to play when and where, technically who's going to start based on what I saw and what I read. But to come out and say that both are going to play, I know you want to keep both guys happy, but was that the right message to send right now for Kirby Smart?
Yeah, I don't think it matters because one – Stetson's done a great job, and you can't take him out of the lineup. I think the roster and the players on that roster know that. And then you look at what JT Daniels, he hasn't done anything to lose his job either. It's not like JT Daniels played poorly and was lifted in favor of Stetson Bennett. That wasn't the case. JT Daniels did everything you asked him to do. He unfortunately just got banged up, so you don't want him to get Wally pipped, so you want him to have an opportunity on the field to earn his job back. I got no problem rolling two. Right now they're better than everybody. So it doesn't really matter. You don't have to be A++ in every single week offensively for them to win games. Not at this point. So when you look at what's going to happen long term, we've all agreed that if this offense is really going to take flight, they're probably going to have to move it through the air, probably not going to run it down everyone's throat. So you're going to need a quarterback that can really push the ball down the field and is really accurate with the football as well. So I think that having Stetson Bennett available and capable is always of the utmost importance. He's done a great job this year. He really has. But I do think that if this offense is going to be at its very best, with both quarterbacks at 100% feeling no pain and no limitation, JT Daniels is still the best option at this point.
All right, as football season rolls on, you know changes in the weather are here. Protect your HVAC system with a checkup from a trained comfort specialist. It will give you peace of mind for the cold weather. They're the official partner of Jocks, so find a comfort specialist near you at Trane.com. And like we say, it's hard to stop a train. Call 205-722-ROOF as well. All right, so when you look at exactly where Georgia is and what they've proven to you offensively, I know it might not matter based on what's left in the schedule. You've got extra time if you're Dan Mullen to prepare and let this sort of be the game that you unleash Anthony Richardson. So that could be a little bit different. But that's still going to be on the Georgia defense, and I think we're all pretty confident that they could find ways to get stops there. But is being available not a big part of it? Is being able to stay in games, being able to practice with your team week to week, is that not a part of being the starting quarterback and being the guy? I mean, it's one thing that we just said about Eli. We were talking about him. Like people can shrug their shoulders at that or turn their nose up at that. But you get a guy that starts 210 consecutive games in the NFL at quarterback, which every other team is trying to take his helmet off and trying to knock him out of the game. I'm sorry, but I'm impressed by that. So the fact that Stetson Bennett's able to be there, be available, practice, lead the team, I think he deserves a little bit more credit for that. I know JT brings a little bit of a different dimension, but I mean, I'll go put the UAB film on, and I didn't see Stetson Bennett having a problem challenging people down the field. I mean, he has shown to me that he can do things that we thought JT Daniels was going to be the difference maker in, and that was push the ball down the field. So if Stetson's improved there a little bit, what is the big advantage of bringing JT Daniels in? Have we seen enough of JT Daniels, Greg, to even truly believe that he's that different in this offense?
I don't. I mean, it's all based on last year's tape. Because Stetson Bennett of this year is better than Stetson Bennett of last year. And JT Daniels, albeit small sample size, didn't necessarily do anything to really impress based on what he did in game number one and you know the limited time that he spent on the field and any other aspect of the season. So I'm not 100% sold that this offense is 100% better with JT Daniels under center. I think Stetson's done a great job, but I do think Stetson has limitations. And I think JT does too, by the way. I don't think he's the most mobile guy in the world, and I obviously think that he's got a little injury prone. And you know, if you're going to invest time and reps into a guy, then you need to make sure that guy's available. I totally get that line of thinking. But also, this is a quarterback competition that was won by JT Daniels. They had a competition in the spring. They had a competition last fall. This is a quarterback competition that was won by JT Daniels. And I don't like to eliminate a long period of time in which JT Daniels is clearly the best option based on the performance of the last couple weeks. I love Stetson Bennett. I love what he's done. And think it'd be difficult to replace him. But I also acknowledge that JT Daniels was the starting quarterback coming into the season. Got beat up. Got hurt. Shouldn't lose your job because of an injury. Should lose your job based on performance. And he didn't do anything, I don't think, from a performance standpoint, to justify losing that job.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. All right, so we'll continue talking quarterbacks. John Parker Wilson, former Alabama quarterback, joins us next right here on McElroy and Kubelik in the Morning. Welcome back in, McElroy and Kubelik in the Morning. Dodgers force a game six last night behind three home runs from Chris Taylor. A.J. Pollock got in as well, and it was a big win for L.A. last night. Cervez Ravine was rocking 11-2 on 17 hits. The Dodgers take that game, so we will come back to Atlanta for more NLCS. 11 unanswered runs to force a game six. That will be in Atlanta on Saturday. And the Dodgers improved, or Los Angeles improved, to just 3-24 all-time when trailing by multiple runs in elimination games. They are now 3-1 against the Braves in those games compared to 0-23 against everyone else. So we get more postseason baseball because that was a pretty big win by LA last night as they're able to find a way to squeeze that one out. Seven consecutive elimination playoff games that the Dodgers have now won, Greg.
Yeah, very impressive performance last night. Will it be enough? I don't know. Scherzer and Buehler on the bump. next two games, respectively, for the Dodgers. So they definitely have a chance, but it's a slim one. That's for sure. Let me tell you about the pros of Wayne's Pest Control. Because the recent wet weather and temps beginning to cool, all these pests are now looking for warm, dry places to call home. Don't let your home become their home. Let the professionals at Wayne's find a solution for you. They're currently serving 100,000 customers that are they are also Quality Pro certified. Top 5% of all pest control companies in the United States. Number one rated pest control provider in Birmingham with over 1,100 Google reviews. I've been proudly serving our community for over 50 years. Take great care of my family. I am a customer. That's why I called 866-WAYNES-1. Had him come out to the house, spray it down. All's been well ever since. I mentioned offer code JOCKS, too, because I got $60 off my initial EnviroPest treatment. 866-WAYNES-1, mention offer code JOCKS.
All right, so talking some Alabama football. Going to continue to talk some college quarterbacks as well with former Alabama QB John Parker Wilson. He joins us each and every week thanks to our friends at Craneworks.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, Craneworks, Craneworks, yeah! The big dog's got it.
John Parker Wilson on McElroy and Kublik in the Morning is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. Now, John Parker Wilson.
John Parker, always good to have you with us on the Bud Light Hotline. I want to start something away from Alabama just a little bit, but I know you've paid attention to Georgia this year, and you've sort of seen how their quarterback situation has played out. We talked about it in our previous segment, just Kirby Smart saying that he will play both down the stretch. I mean, Stetson Bennett has been great since he stepped in, and now JT Daniels has proved in consecutive years that he hasn't been able to stay healthy for a long stretch of games. You feel like it's the right move for Kirby to come out and say, hey, both guys are going to play down the stretch. Neither guy necessarily going to be the guy right now. Is that how you handle that? Or how would you handle a quarterback situation where one's been out due to injury and the reserve that's come in has played fairly well?
I know. It's so tough. You got a really good quarterback that's been out, and the other guy's come in and just done literally everything you've asked him to do, everything you could want him to do. I don't know how you handle as a coach, because especially at the quarterback position, if it's any other position, it's not that big of a deal, except maybe offensive line. But it's difficult because it all starts and ends with the quarterback. You got to go out there and be out there. But two guys have done it really well. I think you play both guys. I think you let it rip until you have to make a move. I know that's probably, I guess we've seen it before at Florida with Steve Spurrier, but I think Kirby Smart probably knows his team better than anybody, and if the guys are going to respond to it and both guys are playing well, then roll the dice, see how it goes. I don't think it's a bad decision.
When you see a situation at Georgia like that, and you think about the possibilities of what's going on at Florida as well, we've now seen Emory Jones, we've seen Anthony Richardson. Neither one looked good last week, by the way. Anthony Richardson, I think all of us agree, has the better upside, but Emory Jones has been the more consistent player against top-tier competition. How would you assess that competition when it could potentially be based a little bit off of more than just the lost the job because of injury conversation?
Yeah, I mean, losing the job to injury is one thing, but when you get outplayed, it's another thing. I haven't watched a ton of the Florida quarterbacks. My limited knowledge from them comes from before we played them, and when we were playing them. To me, Emory Jones played pretty well. I mean, when you have a quarterback that can run the ball and throw the ball, that can beat you, a dual threat quarterback, kind of like what Alabama is doing this week against Tennessee, it makes it tough. I mean, it's hard to defend against. So, we've seen a lot of offenses kind of building their offense around a dual threat quarterback right now. But, quarterback competitions, especially during the season, to me, they put a lot of stress on the team. When it's a true competition, when it's like what we're talking about in Florida, where it's a performance thing, because it's really going to tear the locker room. I mean, some guys are going to want quarterback A, some guys are going to want quarterback B, and until somebody emerges, that could be a problem. That could be a problem for any team. And I think the thing that Georgia has different is they've got two really good guys that I think their players trust in and believe that they can go out and win a game. And when you have that trust and that belief, it kind of supersedes everything. When you at that quarterback position where you can have a guy that you can go rely on and expect to go out and win a football game.
What did you see different from Alabama's quarterback position against Mississippi State last Saturday?
I think he had time. I think he had a lot more time than he did against Texas A&M. I mean, he gave up four sacks against A&M and you know, probably should have been at least six or seven. Bryce did a really good job of escaping the pocket. And then this past week, I think, he continued to do what he's been doing all year. It's be consistent, be accurate. Protect the ball. I mean, ended up with 350 yards and four touchdowns, no interceptions. But also saw some guys start emerging around him more. I mean, John Metchie had, without doubt, his best game of the season. So now we've got Brian Robinson that has come along pretty well. Jamison Williams has gotten going. And now you got Metchie. So you got three pretty good targets or three pretty good options for Bryce Young. And I think as we get more and more people like that going, the better he's going to be, because Bryce has been he's been fantastic all year. I mean, he's done an extremely good job. And I think this week, too, we saw him rush the ball a little bit. He pulled it out a few times, was able to get a couple first downs with his feet, almost scored a touchdown. They got called back for stepping out of bounds. So I think Bryce is, I mean, he's getting better every week, but he's starting to get, pretty good, especially as the guys around him are getting better also.
What do you make of this week's game against Tennessee? Depending on who they started quarterback, that obviously could change some things. But what's your assessment of the Volunteers up to this point?
I think this is, you know, it's an interesting game. And I think it's really going to depend on who their quarterback is. I think Hendon Hooker's been playing really well. Obviously has a huge responsibility for their success and what Josh Heupel's been doing at quarterback, you know. Tennessee has turned it around extremely quick. They're averaging 40 points a game. And that's what, third in the SEC. So they've really got it, to me, I mean, a completely different direction than they've had in the past few years. And that's, I think, a lot to do with the quarterback play. I mean, you turn on the film, he's dynamic. He protects the ball, too. I mean, this guy's only thrown, one interception all season long. So when you're playing the quarterback, if you could do that and you get a pretty good defense like they do, I mean, they've got a defensive for Tennessee's, I mean, pretty good. I mean, I guess they're probably middle of the pack in stats. But when you can protect the ball like that, you can maintain your possessions, and then you got a playmaker like a quarterback, you give yourself a chance. I think that's what Tennessee's been able to do this year.
John Parker, always great stuff, man. Appreciate you tuning in. And as always, you're brought to us by our friends at Craneworks.
Appreciate it, guys. And Craneworks has offices in Birmingham, Mobile, and Nashville, and they're the Southeast leader for crane and equipment rental. Give Craneworks a call for your next lift, machinery moving, or rigging project, and don't forget they always have the qualified operators for all their equipment, including aerial and earth-moving equipment. So check them out at craneworks.com.
Appreciate that. John Parker Wilson joins us each and every Friday, thanks to Craneworks, on the Bud Light Hotline.
And when you look at what's going on this weekend, obviously Alabama-Tennessee, third Saturday or fourth Saturday, I don't know, what number is it? In October, looking forward to it. This weekend I'll be there. John Parker will obviously be there. And if you want to be there, you need to hit up Tickets for Less. Tickets for Less, your local source for Bama football tickets. Find the best selection of seats without added taxes and per-ticket service fees that you find on other sites at ticketsforless.com. Call today at 205-758-1199 or visit their office at 1410 University Boulevard or shop online at ticketsforless.com.
All right, SEC action coming up this weekend. Big one in Oxford. Begin to break it down, give you our thoughts on how that one plays out next on McElroy and Kubelik in the Morning. Welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the Morning. Mentioned some of those college football scores from last night. Tonight, Middle Tennessee at UConn, CBS Sports Network. You can get that at 5 o'clock, which is just feels like a really weird start time. I don't know the last time I saw the 5 o'clock kick.
If you're watching Friday, that one, you're either betting or one of the players' parents. Like there's only two reasons to watch that game.
Ouch.
I'm being honest.
Or
like,
Dan
Orlovsky. Fair enough. I'm not sure he's watching. I can promise you, as someone that watches, I try to watch at least a little bit of every football game that I can. And did, by the way, watch for about a quarter and a half last night. UNLV and San Jose State kicked off at 10 o'clock local. I did. I'm not sure that one's gonna be a top priority for me today.
Did you see him hit the slot machine? Did they get over there?
That's part of why I wanted to watch. Is that bad? Then the good news is I didn't have to wait long to watch it. There was a fumble on the opening kickoff return. They scored like three plays later. Boom! Hit the slot machine. Let's rip. So I got to see it. It was pretty cool. I got to be honest. It was pretty cool.
Okay. There you go.
It's working.
All right. So I couldn't stay awake for that one. There's no way. you also have Memphis UCF. That's a 6 o'clock kick on ESPN2. Colorado State at Utah State, an 8:30 kick on CBS Sports Network. And then Washington's at Arizona tonight. Arizona, 18 straight losses. They're looking to get into the win column against the Huskies at home. 9:30 start on ESPN2. So you got some good college football coming up tonight, Greg.
We do. Greg McElroy here for BDRI. Your home's foundation serves an important purpose. Unfortunately, water can make its way to the foundation. Water enters through wall cracks and mortar joints, up to the cracks in the floors, over and under the footing, and by sweating the walls. If you find standing water in your basement or crawl space, discover cracks in the foundation, or see that your basement walls are wet, you have a water intrusion problem. Fortunately, you have only one call to make, and that's because for over 60 years, we've trusted BDRI here in the Birmingham area for our waterproofing and foundation repair needs. Get peace of mind by choosing a basement and crawl space waterproofing and foundation repair company whose solutions are backed by the strongest lifetime warranty in the industry. Thousands of Alabamans already made this choice. Now you need to make this choice. Permanently solve your issues with unnecessary add-ons. BDRI Waterproofing, dedicated to your satisfaction. 942-1976. That's 942-1976. Or you can go to BDRIAlabama.com.
All right, Ole Miss at LSU, 2:30 on CBS. LSU's won 5 straight against Ole Miss. That's one shy of the longest streak in series history, which just kind of feels a little bit odd. I could see this one having been a little bit more lopsided at some point, but LSU won 6 straight from 02 to 07. Matt Corral, we know he's been great. He was especially great with his legs last week against Tennessee. I can tell you from talking to the staff, they did not go into that game, Greg, thinking this will be the plan. I think they're always going to have it, and they always know that on a 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, that if a defense is playing them a certain way, Corral could quickly get into some sort of a draw or some sort of a lead and has the legs to be able to convert a lot of times, especially with what they're going to do going forward on 4th down with the analytics. They're okay taking a 4 or 5 yard gain on a 3rd and 6, 3rd and 8, because they know they're going to go for it on 4th down. So they just want to chip away and get some of those back. But by design, I know for a fact they did not go into that game thinking that it was going to be that much. So he runs for 195 against Tennessee, second highest rushing total for a quarterback in Ole Miss football history. Plumlee went for 212 in 2019 against LSU. So I don't think that Matt Corral is going to continue to be that quarterback that we saw against Tennessee. I think some of it was happenstance based on how the front was playing him. But here's my question for you, Greg. Is some of the lack of passing prowess based on how defenses are playing Ole Miss? And should there be some concern for them offensively based on certain teams being able to sort of neutralize that part of what they do? Alabama game, Corral still played well, but he wasn't able to go for 420, 450 yards. Same thing against Tennessee. He only throws for 231. Now, made them pay in other ways, not Alabama, but Tennessee. But are defenses playing this team a certain way that is beginning to limit the explosive plays and maybe begin to be able to limit the total output through the air for Matt Corral and Ole Miss?
I would say that the quarterback run game in particular is one that is almost impossible to stop when you think about what Ole Miss is trying to throw at you. They already have you on a little tough team to kind of cover because they're going to play some man-to-man coverage against them. If you can, that's what you'd like to do. So you have problems already from a matchup standpoint, and they're going to get numbers against you in the run game. Well, the only way to really compound and take away that run game, because it's been rock solid and very reliable, is to attribute another guy to the box, which means there's one less guy in the passing formation. And if you have good secondary personnel, you might not win those one-on-one battles on the outside every single time you snap the football. So what's one way to neutralize the numbers in the run game if you can't win the one-on-one battles on a consistent basis? Quarterback run. You're going to get numbers every single time. And I think that that's one aspect of this offense that is yet to really be tapped into, and they showed it last week. And I think they're kind of kicking themselves a little bit too. Because if there's one thing that's hurt Alabama in the past, by the way, against Ole Miss. Good example. John Rhys Plumlee ran for 700 against Alabama, it felt like, a couple years ago. So I think they're kind of kicking themselves and did some soul-searching after that game and said to themselves, man, we got to run this guy. We don't want to. He's not very big. We know that our season is essentially toast if he goes down. But if our offense is going to be at its best, we got to run him. We got to run him. And they ran him against Arkansas. They ran him, obviously, last week. And I think they'll run him again. Now, he's a willing and capable runner. He's not going to be a guy that I want running over people, though. So if I'm going to give him that freedom to run the football, Cole, there's got to be a really good understanding from him is that, dude, an extra 3 yards on a run is not as important as, one, the rest of our season, two, your career, three, your health and safety. He's not big enough to be able to take on some of the tacklers that he's taken on so far. So he's got to be smarter about that, but I think that's a new element of this offense that's going to continue to be added on a weekly basis.
So it's interesting to me, though, when you talk about sort of neutralizing the passing game, and I agree, if people want to play split safeties and they want to play too deep and say, hey, we're not giving up explosive plays, what you said about the numbers, it's going to be there. You're going to be able to run the football, and you can always add a blocker and run the football with Corral. They haven't thrown for 300 yards, Greg, since the Tulane game on September 18th. They've only thrown for 300 yards twice this season. And that was Louisville and Tulane.
Right.
Their last three games against Alabama, they were 213, Arkansas 287, Tennessee 231. Now, you win two of those three, so that's okay. And again, Corral was 72% against Alabama, threw a touchdown, didn't throw a pick. He took what the defense gave him. But they were going to have to come up with other ways to beat Alabama, and it just wasn't there. So I've watched this offense, and I mean, you go back to last year, the only teams that held them under 300 yards passing were Arkansas, and we know he threw six picks in that game. Auburn, he threw two picks in that game. And LSU, where he threw five picks in that game. And right. He admitted to us, Matt Corral did, when we met with him earlier this year, he said, I'm just going to be honest with you, the LSU game, I just started to let it rip. He said it was irresponsible on my part. He said it wasn't even pressing, it was past pressing. He said we were to the point that I thought I was going to have to make all these plays for us to have a chance to win. He said it wasn't the way I should have handled it. I learned my lesson, but that was on me. So this is not a team that frequents being under 300 yards passing, yet this year it's almost becoming the norm that they're not hitting that marker. And I'm not saying they have to hit 300 yards passing to win games or win this game, but I am beginning to wonder that, because last year it was rush 3, drop 8. Lane admitted us. We worked the entire offseason on that. We're not going to let that beat us again. We're going to find ways to attack that. Our team's finding another way to defend Matt Corral that's at least keeping him in check from dominating them through the air.
I think that this is the rush 3 drop 8 is what they see every day in practice, and they know how to attack it now. And it makes a ton of sense. I tell you, the offense is only going to get better at Ole Miss as long as Matt Corral stays healthy.
All right, next hour, UAB Athletic Director Mark Ingram is going to join us at 8:45. Trevor Maddich of ESPN at 9. Had to move Chris the Bear Felica to 9:20. He's out on the West Coast. But he will join us today in the final hour of the show. We get into the top 10 coming up after our next break and begin to talk about who may be in danger of going down this weekend. That's next on McElroy and Kublik in the morning.